fighting for America.
This is like playing poker with a guy who cheated you twice before. You know who does that? A moron.
Fighting for Idaho.
Well, you ever been to Idaho?
You know, it's funny you say that. Just this last autumn, I was up there on an elk hunting trip.
Did you get anything?
I did. I got the biggest elk I've ever gotten before in my life, and enjoying that on a weekly basis in our freezer.
Fighting for you.
I went and got engaged, so yeah, I kind of got a little bit of a life, but you know, not one that would be enough to ignore the Kevin Miller Show.
Boise's Mr. Right.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Our friend Dave Pezzo with us from the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. Dave, good to have you with us.
Always good to be here, Kevin. Thank you.
You know, we take a look at the first couple months of the year. February almost done. People are just getting ramped up. If you will, any big industries that you've been keeping an eye on that... Well, if the pacing continues, could have a very profitable year.
Yeah, overall, Kevin, the technology sector is really it seems to me to be not just on fire stock price wise. The valuations are off the charts, really. I mean, for some of these that are still at private equity, Snapchat and things like that that have not gone public yet,
but are in the
billions. What's that?
Remember Candy Crush? We were making fun of that one?
Yes, we did make fun of that. Yeah. And guess what? We were right.
Yes.
It's really in trouble. But at any rate, some of these that are really they're going to be changing social media. They really are. Snapchat could really be a threat to Facebook. It'll be very interesting. But the valuations are extremely high, and people are running towards this space. But the old tech is still doing very well. Also, we see companies like Cisco coming back from not from the dead, but certainly their stock prices haven't been doing well. So, Kevin, I think it's technology that has really been leading the market.
Well, when we talk about technology here at 580KIDO, those of us that have been around a while remember how Bill Clinton saved his presidency with that budget explosion, where all of a sudden jobs were created, of course. A few years later, the boom went bust, the dot-coms. Is there a danger of something like that? And, you know, Snapchat, I believe, is something that you take a photo of and then it's gone in 10 seconds. And those are neat and those are fun and those are exciting. I would believe the challenge in this two-part question, Dave Pezzo, is to monetize it.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But think of Facebook, right? So they have... The initial argument, who cares? You know, Facebook, it's not a big deal, and they're not going to sell anything. You said, well, you know what? If you have a billion people logging onto your website, a billion, and that's where they started when they went public. It's more than that now. But you have a billion people coming to your website and spending significant time, you're going to figure out a way to monetize that. Then it became, well, they're not going to be able to monetize social. They did. I think Snapchat will do the same thing. There'll be ads running on the side. Whatever it is, they'll figure out a way to monetize it. They have a lot of people using it, and kids like it, not for good reasons. Good reasons being, they don't want – or bad reasons, I say, because they don't want their parents to be monitoring their Facebook or their chats with their friends. So, but it is a very popular site, and I think they're going to be able to monetize it. But it's a good question. How are they going to? That's the big question. But I think when you get people visiting the website, that's the secondary question. Now, how do we monetize? They'll figure it out.
Right, but it comes down to, you know, the difference between a Facebook that had a few bumps in the road and a Candy Crush that it was very popular, but it didn't blow up as far as what people projected. I mean, just trying to figure out what is going to be the next big thing. I mean, the next Alibaba, if you will.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And I think Snapchat is certainly its pricing that way. Things like Uber, that's still private, I think that is a $40 billion valuation already, Kevin. It's crazy, the numbers on it. But
yeah, and they're looking to raise another almost $3 billion to aid some folks internationally as well when we're talking about international expansion. So who would have thought a simple app where, hey, I need a ride.
Yeah.
And it's been controversial here in the Treasure Valley in the city of Boise, but right now they're looking at 2.8, so let's just say $3 billion
right
for international expansion all off your phone.
Exactly. And the app is, when you think about it, it's amazing and could be unbelievably profitable when you start. You think about this on a global basis, connecting whenever somebody needs a ride somewhere. It really is obviously the valuation is high. Are we in a bubble? I'm not an investor in Uber and Snapchat, but from a standpoint of how and where the society is going, these are cutting edge companies. They're not just about eyeball views, and you will see stuff like Candy Crush, which is, hey, it's a game, Kevin. There's no necessity for a game.
Right.
But there is a necessity for us to be connected. And maybe you say there isn't a necessity. Why can't I use a phone? Maybe that's your choice, Kevin, but people are feeling like I need Facebook. I need something like that.
Well, it's a whole way of communicating. Let's take a look at a more traditional stock and – again, I think it's an indication here at 580KIDO that the economy is recovering to some degree, because you have Walmart kind of down, McDonald's down, and when the economy is bad, those stocks are great.
They do better. We also, of course, had some recently big news here about Walmart. Of course, you know, raising the minimum wage throughout the country. I believe that has to be, well, it's just two things you can believe in that, and you can say it's only one or the other. It's probably some of both. They're getting out front of what is going to be, in some states, pressure on the minimum wage level anyway. And so why not make it – what does it cost to go ahead and get in front of instead of being forced and being looked at as a good guy? That doesn't,
sure.
It costs very little. The second part, though, is that I really believe it's harder to find good help. It's the economy is improving enough that you just don't have endless lines of people. If you want a higher quality worker, then you're going to get it, because even starting off, you need to start off at a higher level to get a high enough quality worker. They are still, average salaries are still very good at Walmart. People forget that. Average nationally is over $12 an hour. That's not very good. It's not a huge wage, but it's certainly well above minimum wage, which is what everybody's crying about.
Well, and they have some good benefits. I know a lot of folks mm-hmm. that, you know, have transferred from the Sam's Club to Walmart, and they get 5 weeks vacation.
Right.
Now, look, if you are a person that can manage your finances well, do the Dave Petso, and put some away for a rainy day, and, you know, you have a couple incomes going, you know, 5 weeks vacation, you know, 12, 13, 15 bucks an hour, that's not a bad life if you pay everything off.
Yep, that's right.
I mean, I don't think you get 5 weeks vacation. Of course, you don't really work. This is your lifestyle.
But that's right.
You know what I'm saying.
I totally do. Yeah. No, I say I'm a very fortunate guy to get – you don't work a day in your life if you do what you like to do.
I thought you were going to say you're fortunate because you get to hang out with the best-dressed talk show host in the Treasure Valley here.
Yes. Oh, man, you just stopped me in my tracks.
That's what I try to do, though. Yes.
The most awesome guy, I could go for all that. But best-dressed, I'm sorry, that's really stepping over, yeah.
It is indeed, if you will.
The most brilliant, the best, all those things I can buy into. Yeah.
Well, Dave Petso with us, Petso Financial, the Petso Center. We talked a little bit about technology. What do you make of all the innovations in cars?
Oh, and that's something with Apple running at it?
Yeah.
This is the next big thing. It's got to be, you know? It really does, because you're not going to spend the incredible amounts of money
that
Google, Apple, Tesla, and others we don't even know about are out there running for this big prize, which is, part of it's going to be high-tech cars that drive themselves. Kevin, there's another one out there that we haven't talked about before that is astounding, and we kind of set this aside. Like, do you realize that they're doing 3D printed cars now?
I saw that
work.
Yeah.
They work. This is not like a model car
that work.
It's a full sized car, and they can do them now for $15,000. This is the beginning. And when you think about the exponential way exponentially technology increases,
right?
We're not talking about a year from now. It's going to be, you know, like a little cheaper. It's a lot cheaper, and it's a lot better year after year. Within 5 years, you could be printing off, who knows? It's amazing.
Heck of a cost for toner, though, I'd imagine.
I don't think they use toner on those to make cars, and I don't know.
Apparently not. Our friend Dave Petso with us. We continue on talking about your money. Let's take a look at the largest cohort, hard to believe, in American history, the millennials. And people are trying to figure out how to talk to these folks, what type of workforce they're going to be. You know, you have the baby boomers, the greatest generation. Then you have the millennials. We've never seen a cohort so big, maybe the boomers. They're bigger than the boomers, but so big that we're adjusting to them.
Right.
Now, you know, growing up, we had to conform. Never before have the old people had to conform to the young people.
Right. To a degree, that's true. But also, all of society did change as the baby boomers came through, right? They do. As we age, we start being the change makers. And that's true, I think, is going to be true of the millennials as well. There will be a few that come out and shine and change the world. And I think they do think of the world differently than we do. I don't know if it's if there's a lack of teaching of history and things like that, but I certainly get the sense that they're much more into today and into self than they are of thinking about history and thinking about where our roots and
well, they're very into their lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like you and I are bred to be upwardly mobile, but they're more like quality of life.
Right.
They want to have their own things. Of course, as we talk about a lot, they're going to have to deal with the future of Social Security, like all of us, and this incredible student loan debt that we talk about all the time.
Yep.
You know, I guess, is student loan debt different from any other debt when we're talking about a car loan or a house loan or anything else?
I don't think so. I really don't, personally. But, you know, it is to better yourself, but you're trying to better yourself to get a higher paying job, and now I guess Obama just wants everybody to have it provided for them. I don't understand the thought process. And I don't understand how society can be served better by just paying for everything, when the reality is people work hard and let's say the summer.
Well, are you entitled or do you have initiative? That's what it comes down to.
Correct. But when you take the initiative from society and you provide it,
right,
then I think it destroys society. That's my point. It's not. Does it sound nice that my kids have a free education? Yeah, I think that sounds really nice that I wouldn't have to pay for it.
Dave
well,
Petzl
I do
with
pay
us.
For it, right? Through taxes.
Exactly. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's take a look at oil. I guess Warren Buffett has sold some of his, and a lot of people are wondering whether or not they should sell Exxon. Exxon, when Apple isn't running wild, is the world's most profitable company. You could almost call it a country, but now people, because of the lowering oil prices, should we bail?
And when it comes to energy, we'll continue to use it, but the reality is there is an abundance of energy in the world. And
hard to believe.
Well, people said there wasn't.
Like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Different world than today.
It certainly is. But it was with our renaissance in the country here, finding with fracking, with technology is what it basically is. Again, people think of this as some kind of just dirty industry. Go ahead and just pop a hole in the ground and hope it all works out. It's all technology. Even in an industry like this, it's all about technology, which is what fuels this abundance of energy in the world and the renaissance in this country. But it is expensive to get it out of the ground still and use this technology. And if we're only going to get $50 a barrel, there's a lot of energy companies that are going to go out of business because they need more than that in the areas that they're drilling in. Some don't. Some have cheaper access, but some are going to be going out of business. There's no question there are going to be big layoffs in the energy sector.
Dave Petzl with us, Kevin Miller in the morning. Money Matters, that's his program. Saturdays 8 to 10. We'll have more with our great friend Dave Petzl next. You're listening to 580 KIDO. Time to get you to work safely and on.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. Losing up all night.
Good morning. Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Dave Petzl with us, and we've been talking about oil and energy and everything else. Let me hit you with this. The news has reported that
energy prices now have bottomed out. It's time to raise them, everybody.
Your thoughts on whether or not gas prices are going to go up and what this means. I mean, here we have summer just around the corner. I know for a lot of people that have sea-doos and boats and big trucks, they'd love gas at about $1.50, $1.80, heck, $2 a gallon.
Yeah. And there's no reason to think it's going to go a lot higher. So I recognize that people like to call bottoms, like to call tops.
Sure.
Market's too high. People do this all the time, and the reason why is because it pays off. People forget that 29 times you called the top thousands of points ago, but when you finally do get it right and the market goes down, maybe, you know, in a normal correction, now you're a hero and you can sell lots of newsletters because you called some top. It's really a marketing game that people play because there is no way to game it. Now, when you get into oil, how many people were saying $100 is here to stay? And then remember, even famously, Goldman Sachs came out and said it's going to 200. Mm-hmm. Well, and then, of course, now there's a race to say it's going to 30, it's going to 40, you know, whatever it is. And I don't know. They don't know. People are wrong all the time. But the reality is this about oil, gas, any commodity, it's self-correcting. When it gets too cheap, people stop putting holes in the ground. And then we run short on supply. Demand picks up and we go. And also, people are going to take those big trucks. They're going to take more trips. They're going to burn more gasoline, oil. They're going to use more. And so it's all self-correcting. Demand will increase and supply will decrease. And then we'll finally be in equilibrium and prices will rise again. Will they go to 100? I doubt it.
Right. When we take a look, though, at people around the Treasure Valley, I would assume that if prices even go up a little, you're going to have a windfall for landscapers and salespeople that have been taking it on the chin for the past 5 years, 6 years.
Absolutely. Absolutely will. And their costs are going to go down. They're going to get the same amount of money, so they're going to have better margins. And those will translate into, theoretically, higher profits, higher taxes, and then people spending more at the various other retailers around.
Let me hit you with this. We talked earlier about Walmart nationally. What do you make of Walmart's expansion in the Treasure Valley? You've got now 3 stores, I believe, in Meridian. When I first moved here, all of just about 6 years ago, there was only one. But between the Garrity store, which is on the border, the one over by Lowe's, by Wahoo's, and now the new one on 10 Mile, they've expanded, I mean, in 6 years, what, 2 stores? That's all within
a lot. Yeah.
5 miles of each other, I would say.
Absolutely. And obviously they do the demographics. They knew the valley is moving, you know, the center of the valley is moving towards Meridian, certainly as a bedroom community. So why not? That's where you want to be. That's where you want to be when you want a lot of traffic in your stores. That's what they rely on, not high margins, not perfect produce, not perfect food, but they rely on low prices and high volume. And that's what people want, at least for their staples. They seem to get do very well in the grocery business.
And that seems to be helping. You just wonder if it's too much too soon, and just like the housing industry.
Sure.
But Walmart seems to have a model for what they're doing, and they seem to do everything correctly. And the stores have changed. You know, they're not these big, huge super centers anymore.
Right.
And you have to wonder, you know, speaking of Walmart, you go back to the Sam's Club model, and, you know, we have, what, 2 Costcos. I think we're getting a third, maybe a fourth eventually, and yet no Sam's Club. So if you're in the Walmart Corporation, if you will, you really wonder about, has the Sam's Club program paid off? I mean, if it didn't work here, I mean, Sam's Club is now CWI in Napa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether or not Costco and others will continue to impact Walmart Sam's Club.
I think Sam's Club is toast. Yeah.
Well,
are you going to go to a Sam's Club
or
are you going to go to a Costco?
You're a Costco guy anyway.
But everybody is a Costco guy. That's the problem. That's the problem for Sam's Club. Costco does it a lot better. They're cleaner stores. They have new stuff, interesting things aligning the aisles, and you can count on their own brand as being a high quality, good value. That's the Kirkland brand. On any product, you can trust it. You can pull it off the shelf and know that they had Procter & Gamble make the, or whoever, right, some high-quality company making a high-quality product with their label on it. So it's a obviously, they have just kicked Sam Club's rear, and Sam's Club is just, I'm sure they tried to reinvent themselves in various ways, but it looks to me like they've given up.
Our friend Dave Petzl with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Anything that you'll be watching out for in the upcoming weeks?
Well, absolutely. I don't want to even bring up Greece except to say this. We overstate it. We overstate the importance. You know, how many people are in Greece? 11 million. 11 million. And yet, but that's all the financial press can talk about, whether Greece is going to fold and get out of the euro and now it's going to implode. And then you get all the doomsday people that just like to write about Greece, and that's going to cause this cascading effect. And then finally, I guess we're going to get our comeuppance from the doomsday crowd. It is really something. And they make olive oil. I know that's precious. I know that's vital product for the world. But somehow I think we'll get by if there's less olive oil. So there are problems. There's hot spots in the world, but right now we want to see Europe settle down, and that's what traders are looking at. So I don't want to bring it up. I think it's bringing it up is silliness and not serious discussion. But from a trading perspective, from a news perspective, that's what people are going to be seeing and talking about. I don't believe it's really an issue, Kevin. For me, what I want to be looking at is I want to be continuing to look at the underlying fundamentals of corporations. Are they innovating, creating, generating more and growing profits? Are their dividends being increased? Is Apple on to the iWatch and all these other things that will also flow to companies like Micron as they put more and more of these chips in? That's what you want to focus on, but that's a longer-term picture.
Dave Pezzo with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. So we've talked a little bit about what to look out for locally. Anything that we should look out for? You mentioned Micron. You're always on their case, good or bad. Anything else that might come to attention, you know, between the time we hear you now and Money Matters?
Well, there really isn't a lot out there. Of course, we'll find out locally here soon about the overall impact of what's going on with some of the, you know, with the National Guard locating here, or what kind of changes they're making out there. But relative to how big our economy is here locally, Kevin, that's not even a huge, huge deal. So, no, I think the Valley is very well balanced other than Micron. So that's why we do talk a lot about Micron. It is such an important impact to the Valley. But other than that, there are not any huge, overwhelming private employers.
Dave Pezzo, we always appreciate it. Money Matters, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial, Pezzo Incorporated.
It goes on.
It does. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Time for the Manly Man segment, 580KIDO. Kevin Miller with Dave Burnett as we start your Tuesday morning with fun, frivolity, laughter, perhaps another review of the Oscars. Who knows what will happen this morning?
Why would we review the Oscars again?
Why not?
But there was one thing in the Oscars, actually, that I thought was worthy. And that was Tim McGraw.
Mm.
As he was selected by Glenn Campbell's family to sing the song that was nominated for an Academy Award. And I thought that was worthy. I thought that was very sincere and very touching to the heart. Other than that, there's not a thing left, underpants, none of that. I don't care.
Well, we appreciate the sound effects.
Sure. That's what I live for.
I see.
I should have been a sound effect guy in radio in the 30s.
But you'd have to have been born in the 30s.
I know. I was a pirate born 200 years too late.
You were a pirate?
As Jimmy Buffett would say.
We talked about the pirates yesterday.
Not those kind of, not your favorite pirates.
The gay pirates.
Not those pirates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have the threat of ISIS continuing, Al-Shabaab, which sounds like Al-Kabab, but it is Al-Shabaab, that terrorist group threatening the Mall of America. We have these other incidents going on where, everybody's ripping Representative Vito Barbieri. And I believe you would like to talk about that. For me personally, I will refrain.
You're backing out?
I'm not going to. You have the floor.
I know that today, or at least last night, he came back out to restate his position that he was just kidding. He was, you know, making fun to make a point. Now, whether that is true or not, the problem is anytime you make a statement in this day and age, man, it goes viral, and it goes viral quickly.
Well, I think a lot of people don't know what we're talking about.
Well, he made a statement on the floor about whether a woman can swallow a camera to be able to, you know, have an internal investigation of her lady parts. Now, if he thought that was true, what? What school did he go to? If he was making a joke, the problem is once that hits the internet, then it just goes viral. And that's exactly what has happened.
So basically, they were talking about abortion, mm-hmm. and Vito Barbieri asked if a woman could swallow a camera.
Yeah, and to be able to get an internal exam that way.
I see.
And so those comments have gone viral, as everybody's quick to point out, go, ha ha, dummy. Which, you know, most of social media, Facebook and, you know, Twitter and the like, that is exactly what they're doing now.
All over the world.
Yeah. And so he's come out and said, no, that's not what a, you know, I know how a woman's body works. I was making a point and, you know, making a joke.
Right.
Too little, too late. You got to be careful. Got to be careful what you're saying in this day and age.
So what else do you have to say about that?
Why are you, why don't you get a saw? Wait, hang on. Voopa, voopa. Why don't you get a saw and cut that limb out? You stuck me on a limb and then start cutting it off?
Well, I think that you have to, I mean, I, so you think he's a nitwit.
I think it was poor choice of words. Need to be careful. Need to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Because social media will blast you any chance you can get, especially if you're talking religion, if you're talking female issues, if you're talking gay rights. You have to be very careful because social media will get it and try to use it and blast you with it.
I think the point is at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, were his comments that outrageous? I mean, I think despite what he says, people are going to make fun of him because he's a conservative. We saw this a couple years ago with Chuck Winder. Now, the guy asks a question. Obviously, he's embarrassed. Now people ridicule him. Is that worth ridicule? Was it an honest question? And now, as you said, he's backtracking and such. You know, you have liberals making a lot of dumb statements and doing stupid things, and they get a pass. You know, what? You know, why do we have to pick on people from Idaho? Why do we have to pick on Vito Barbieri?
Who is we?
Well,
society in general, you mean?
Yeah, society in general, but you've been pretty hard on him.
I've been hard on him? Oh, my goodness, Kevin Miller. Let's go back and review the tape.
Okay.
Here's a topic. Dave, what did you think? You had to comment about it this morning.
Well, no, but I remember when we were talking about this off the air, you were pretty hardcore on this. And I'm wondering, you know, look.
What did I say off the air that was hardcore? What
you
did
said
I say?
That it, something to the effects that he was a dummy.
I never said that. I said you got to be careful what you say. I never, ever said that. I can't believe it. Kevin, let's talk about smoking. Let's talk about killing whales and gay pot. You had the floor. What do you think? You had a comment about that.
Right.
I mean, you can't do that. You can't just throw something out and say, you said this off the air. What do you think? And then cut the branch off. Holy cow, Kevin. You know better than that.
I just have, and I'm not smacking you, but I just.
Yes, you are. You're smacking me for something I didn't even say.
Well, you don't have to get defensive.
Yes, I do have to get defensive. You are besmirching and dragging my name through the mud trying to drum up some sort of something. And
no, I'm not. I just think that you've asked for my opinion. Allow me to give it at 580KIDO.
Give it, please. Don't drag mine through the mud.
Are you done?
Maybe.
Okay. Like I said, getting back to Vito Barbieri, I know him. He's a good man. He asks an honest question, and you have people that are ridiculing him across the country. You have a lot of mean-spirited liberals on social media just rejoicing in this, saying how stupid he is. And this is another example of Idaho being out of touch with the nation. And if you read published reports from papers as far away as Minnesota, it paints this state and this representative, a kind, honest, conservative man, in an unfavorable light. And I feel that it's reprehensible that people that don't know Vito Barbieri, that don't know where his heart is, he makes one sentence, one statement, whether it's sarcastic or not. He's on the TV last night explaining it. I think that people should focus more on the internet contract, why we can't pay teachers, than trying to destroy someone's personal reputation. I'm not saying you did that, but I am a little fed up with this instant condemning of somebody because they happen to be pro-life. And people can say, Kevin, you're this, that, and the other. That's my opinion, and I'm sitting there kind of wobbly on it because nobody wants to be on the wrong side of a politically correct issue. Was it out of line? That's why you have hearings. And quite frankly, I know this guy. I know of him as far as his good works, and I can hear the rejoicing of people because they're going to try and character assassinate another good conservative. The same stuff that they did with Chuck Winder when he did that medical notification bill a couple years ago. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, Chuck Winder, nice guy.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Good guy.
Absolutely.
Did not deserve what the national press as well as the local libs did to him.
And I will go back to, I said...
Okay, we've covered what you said.
No, I want to go back to this one more time.
We've covered... Dave, you've corrected me enough on my...
You.
Hold on. You've corrected me enough on my own program.
Yes.
Let's move on.
All right, and I'm just saying...
Okay, let's move on. You've corrected me. I've acknowledged it three times. Do you want to continue on with correcting me?
You did not acknowledge the fact of what you did.
I did.
Here's another sound effect. Pfft. Next, what? What do we got?
Well, fair enough. All right, we move on.
I'm just saying.
What do you mean?
I mean exactly what I said. I'm just saying.
What are you saying, Dave?
No, you don't want me to talk about it.
What are you saying?
That you drug me through the mud and left me hanging out on a branch.
Right.
That I didn't crawl out on.
Right. So what is your opinion on this?
I have no opinion. Because you know what? You got to be careful what you say in this day and age.
So you're saying what he did was wrong?
I'm saying he was not careful in what he said. If he was saying it as a joke, if you're conservative, you've got to be careful on what you say because the media will use it to blast you. That's what I say.
I don't think you said that before.
We'll review the tape after the show.
I look forward to it.
That'll be good.
All right, let's go to traffic. I need to chill out here at 580KIDO.
Yeah, you're mad at me, and I don't know what you did to be mad at me. You ready for traffic?
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
As a man who lives in his head, as I said, he's largely unemotional. Rudy Giuliani's the opposite. He takes wrongdoing very personally. So you can see that these two men have a drastically different view of life. Talking Points believes President Obama does love his country. It has certainly been kind to him. I've had conversations with the president about helping wounded vets and American history, and I don't doubt his patriotism. But if Barack Obama were here today on this set, I'd tell him that he needs to stop equivocating about terrorism. On his watch, ISIS has grown from a nothing organization to a powerful terror threat. That's not a good thing to have on your resume. So right now, the president needs to begin taking ISIS and other jihadists somewhat personally, the way Giuliani does. He needs to step it up in a smart way and realize his theoretical strategy is no longer effective.
Well, you know, yesterday I was talking to somebody who I... was debating the merits of Rudy Giuliani's talk. And Rudy Giuliani isn't backing down. People have vilified him. He now has death threats. But Al-Qaeda has grown four or five times in the past two or three years under this president. Not only has Al-Qaeda grown, but we have, as Bill O'Reilly said, ISIS now threatening the United States of America. Al-Shabaab threatening the Mall of America. Libya, Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, Yemen, all countries in the Middle East stable under President Bush. Now, unfortunately, the rulers, oh, I forgot Egypt as well, being run by the mob, and not the mob in this country, mob rule, the Muslim Brotherhood, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, our foreign policy has been a mess. But because the stock market seems to be doing better than expected, We sit back and everything is great. We sit back and think that the president has done wonderful things. Tell that to the people who are hurting. And by the way, yesterday we had a chance to air this late in the show. And this was Kayla Mueller's parents. We'll talk about it coming up.
During this time when Kayla was being held, the U.S. traded 5 Taliban prisoners for Bo Bergdahl.
That made the whole situation worse. Mm-hmm. Because that's when the demands got greater, they got larger, they realized that they had something. They realized that, well, if they're going to let 5 people go for 1 person, why won't they do this or why won't they do that?
And did you personally feel, why is that trade okay, but something similar is not okay for Kayla?
I actually asked the president that question when we were in the White House. Yeah, that was pretty hard, you know, to take.
The issue of whether or not to negotiate with terrorists, I would say we already have. And then the Bergdahl trade. And look, we're thankful that Bo Bergdahl is home, unlike other people from the outside that rip him. It's nice to see him home. It would have been nice to have seen Kayla Mueller home as well. Time for traffic now with Dave Burnett. Coming up next, we'll talk to Senator Dean Cameron from JFAC, get his thoughts on textbooks, teachers, and the internet. Can we afford all 3? Can we afford 1? Find out next.